Stars. Paul Stastny picked up his own rebound on the short side, and on a backhand, he's able to lift it over Rene. The Jets have built a 2-0 lead.
I dialed in a little of the hockey last night, Dusty, because I was interested in Game 7, and hockey can always provide excellent viewing. And I thought maybe that series is going back to Nashville. They got a great home ice there, and I thought Nashville, the Predators, were going to get to the conference final against Las Vegas. That's not what happened. It's the Winnipeg Jets and the Las Vegas Golden Knights that are in the Western Conference Finals, best of seven. And you know what? When that happened, that struck me. That's the oddest sports pairing that I've ever seen. Someone versus someone else. I've never seen a weirder pairing than Las Vegas and Winnipeg. You know how long it's a 22-hour trip,
I think,
by car from Las Vegas to Winnipeg or vice versa.
Personally, I got to tell you, I think Nashville, Las Vegas would have been the most odd.
Oh, that'd hockey. But both cities are great cities.
Great cities, but odd that that's become hockey towns.
It's what hockey is these days.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like
Tampa Bay is in the other.
At least
final.
Winnipeg is in Canada, where hockey is embraced.
Well, hockey is embraced nowhere on the planet at this very moment, like Las Vegas.
They're loving it, man.
Just there. And it is insane how
it's an incredible story.
Hockey.
It's an incredible
hockey
story
in Nashville,
of course. Now because their teams are good,
and you know what, Winnipeg is—it's like a kindred spirit to Oklahoma City because it's a one horse town. I'm not calling Oklahoma City a one horse town,
yeah,
but in terms of sports franchises,
it's
a one horse town. They got the Winnipeg Jets, and that's it. Nashville at least has a football team. Las Vegas will have a football team, but right now that's all there is in town, and it's been pretty successful. So. I trolled Winnipeg a little bit online. You ever been to Winnipeg?
No, I've never been north of the border, man.
Neither have I.
I'll tell you,
Canada is a nice place in the summer.
I've been to Vegas. I'm Team Knights. Hope they take it all the way. I don't know if this is accurate, but Michael Doty's typically on his stuff. I believe he said that Vegas is set to lose between $30 and $40 million if the Knights win the championship, based off of various futures bets all throughout the year.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. That would
their own town
year for that, the Super Bowl then that
their own town kills them. How about that? Their own hockey team is what puts them under.
They could set a number, and it was a little bit of a surprise. Of course, I mean, Las Vegas was not the number one seed in the Western Conference going in. I think they're number two. Man, it's been a rough day for me already. Like I said, I was standing naked in my front yard.
Have you heard? Whoa, wait. Mister, did you hear what happened to Marcus this morning?
What happened?
Oh, Missile doesn't even know.
I went outside.
No pants party.
I took the dog outside today, and he was really rambunctious, and I had a leash on him, and he pants me all the way down to the ankles. It wasn't just like kind of pulled him down a little bit. All the way down.
And this was like when Mark first got up, so I'm guessing this is what Mark sleeps in.
It was not, yeah, there were no boxers. It was.
Mark was in his front yard in the buff. Now,
I looked around. I didn't see anyone else out there, but Dusty thinks that there may be some surveillance on it. I hope not.
You would agree with that, right? I mean, in 2018, nothing goes unseen, right?
Right, exactly. Someone had cameras on you.
I wasn't looking for a drone. I felt kind of bad when I saw Lacey's rejection challenge last night that she wanted to host the radio show, and I thought I might have kind of rained on the parade of that yesterday, but I was just trying to have a good time. Lacey's more than welcome to host the radio show. I'm not trying to kick you out, but I'm saying she could come on and host the radio show.
I would, if that's the case, if she's listening, swing on by, hun. Lay visage today. We'll get you hooked up.
I even tried to think of some good rejection challenges for her.
She's got four more days of it, so
I wouldn't mention it here. But I'm just saying, is that maybe outside a restaurant, she could ask for maybe a side of mushrooms with a steak.
Jeez,
something like that.
She was a little bit nervous about the missiles challenge.
Really?
She thought she'd be at a casino begging for money.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one. Yeah, she's not going to go to jail. She's going to get a no.
I mean,
and if you don't get a no, you get $50 free.
If you're a young, attractive lady soliciting cash outside of a casino, I mean, there is a chance you could go to jail, Missile.
No, not if you're saying, "Can I get $50 to gamble with? I just lost everything."
Yeah.
I tell you what, I do think that it is. The guy that they told her hard no on driving the car, I mean, that's pretty impressive. But if he said yes and she stole the car, would that make him an accessory to the crime?
Yes. I believe so.
It certainly would get him fired from his job. I don't like his job very much.
You know what I was watching a little bit of last night? This tells you the sports night that it was. I watched some baseball. I thought, you know, Red Sox finally got one off the Yankees. But I was flipping around in ESPN2. I got to ESPN2. And, Mark, I'm not kidding. We need to seriously think about bringing ourselves out of retirement and becoming professional athletes. Because cornhole, it is caught on like wildfire. Obviously, people played in this country for a long time, but it is hitting the main stage. I mean, ESPN2 was broadcasting the Women's Cornhole Championship last night, and I'd be lying if I say that I didn't stick around and tune in for about 10 minutes. So I think we need – now, I'm going to say this. These women are highly skilled. We're going to have to put in some serious time, effort, energy. There will be practice. There will be a regimen that we will follow. But I'm telling you, I think with our expertise and a little bit of leadership, maybe the Missile could be our manager. I think we've got a chance for greatness.
I was glued to the Cornhole College Championships when it was on ESPN last – I can't remember when it was. It was not too long ago. But anyway, after seeing Dusty's performance against the Morning Animals, it looked like he would stack up very nicely against some of those collegiate performers. I didn't watch the women's competition last night.
Missile, what do you think? Like, you could be like our hype man, like, in, you know, in WWE, when you always got to have the hype man.
Yeah, I'll be the manager.
You could kind of – we'll put you in like a suit and tie. You can stroll in with a briefcase, maybe get you like a dollar bill chain or something.
It's the least you can do trying to get Dusty's wife arrested.
I wasn't
be our manager.
She wasn't going to get arrested.
Are you saying that Missile's going to act as our and my wife's manager? Is that what you're insinuating?
I wouldn't want if I was Lacey, I wouldn't want him to be her manager. But hey, I have something very important to say.
Please tell me.
We are at Le Visage today. Mother's Day is Sunday. I know a lot of people are procrastinators like myself. I know I'm not the only one out there. If you need to buy something for the mother in your life, your mother, maybe the mother that you're married to, a $100 gift card would be great from Le Visage. You can also receive a complimentary greeting card to go along with it. Gift cards for mom. You can give the gift of rejuvenation and pampering here at Le Visage. 321-FACE. 321-3223. We are in the Brookhaven Village right next to Louis. So stop and have some lunch and come in and say hi to Dusty and I.
Have you seen all this stuff? I mean, obviously, I'm sure you have, but everybody who's anybody is having the debate, LeBron or Jordan. I don't really want to get into that aspect, just because I'm past the point of it. But I did read something yesterday that kind of tried to put some type of numbers to, you know what I mean? Like, it was a really good piece. I'm trying to find it, but I read through it yesterday, but it basically went through and it was adding, it was giving you an idea based off of the analytics as to what do the analytics say. Who was the better player? Kind of taking the eye test out of it. And I thought it was very interesting what it found. And basically what it said was, and this is what I had texted you and, or maybe it was Jim the other day. I can't remember if it was when you were on with them or it was just Jim and somebody else. But I said, you know, who would you rather have in your prime and who would you rather draft and have for their career? And it was interesting because basically, and I guess my point was, I've always felt this way. At their absolute peak, Jordan's the best. Like when Jordan was at his prime, I think he's the best player that's ever played basketball. But I think when you look at the longevity of the career and how no matter what team LeBron has been on, they've been to 10 conference championships in 12 years, that longevity and that sustained success at the very top of the NBA, and it's still going. We're just at 15 years now. That's going to continue. I think from its infancy, if you look at it from draft all the way to the end of your career, which guy can keep you at the top the longest, I think that's LeBron James. But I think if you're looking for the guy that if you – and in this article it said the 90-91 season statistically was just an anomaly at how great Michael Jordan was. Basically, they said that was his peak, that was his apex, and that was by far, you know, any way you want to determine it, the best season – a basketball player's ever had. I think from that standpoint, maybe it was longer than just that year, but I think Jordan at his best is the best, but I think if you look at the longevity of the career and a guy being able to keep an organization or a team on top and at that level the longest, I think it's LeBron James.
Well, I mean, you know, the prime of Michael Jordan's career, he was on a bus in minor league baseball. So I don't put LeBron ahead of Michael in any category. After the runner the other night, I thought, man, you know what? This guy's resume is piling up, but I would not put a LeBron on top in any category. because I do think that the competition for Michael Jordan was tougher in the East. It was tougher for him to get over the hump against some really good Detroit Pistons teams. And just, again, by the eye test, I don't see the East as being very competitive in the last few years.
Another thing that was funny, I thought it was cool that this thing pointed out, it said, you know, that's a big argument that a lot of people use, exactly what you said. He said, but this article says, but the reality is the NBA is so much more global. And the level of player in the NBA today and the pool in which you select from is so much larger that is actually flawed logic.
Okay, fair enough.
People basically say that basketball is diminished and the players are, you know, the level of play is going down. Basically, this is kind of refuting that and saying, no, that's not really the case.
Do you think
the reality is there's more quality players in the NBA today? Not necessarily teams that LeBron is going against, but there's more quality players throughout the NBA today than there was 30 years ago.
That's the guy that said if you transplanted JaVale McGee back in time, he'd be Wilt Chamberlain.
I don't know if that's right or wrong. I think that's a fair point, though. I mean, I think
that's
legitimate.
There is greatness, and it doesn't matter. Sometimes it's just great. It could be great.
Sure.
I mean, Jim Brown, would he be a good running back today?
Absolutely.
Probably would.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, though, that
I get what you're saying.
That the level of competition, it constantly gets basically diminished in current day basketball, and we always reflect and say, man, back then it was so good, when the reality is you are seeing more quality players dispersed throughout the NBA more so today than you have
previously. It's like college football with scholarship limitations.
Sure.
Without.
Absolutely.
I understand. So. I get it. I don't know that affects me at the elite of the elite, though. You get what I'm saying? It definitely, I get that argument, and it certainly applies to the skill underneath it. And so I see the relevance of that they're better teams or better players, more better players in the league now than there were then. I don't think that means that LeBron or Michael weren't elitely talented, super special in any year or whatever. But
I'll just say this.
But put it this way. I think that the competition, like back then, if you're talking about getting to the finals, there were teams put together that were super teams at the time.
Agree with you. Yeah. I mean, listen, it was obviously tough. I mean, he had to go through Detroit for a while. Obviously, the Knicks year in, year out were a tough team.
He kept Patrick Ewing from winning a championship. He kept John Stockton from winning a championship. He kept Karl Malone from winning a championship.
I understand. And I would say, I still say at the end of the day, if you ask me who's the greatest basketball player of all time, I don't think it'll ever change. It's Michael Jordan. But I do think that the different ways you can look at it, by saying Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player of all time, in no way does that sell short any of the accomplishments or any of the greatness that we see from LeBron. And I also think just this, too, it's just such a tough comparison because, to me, they're completely different players.
They are different.
And they played in completely different eras.
The game is different.
For these two eyeballs, which, I haven't been watching nearly as long as you or nearly as long as many people listening, but those are the two best players I've seen play basketball. That'd be one and two for me.
It is tough to compare players from different eras. It's tough to compare Wilt. It's tough to compare Kareem, who's an all-time leading scorer. Larry Bird sometimes gets shorted, I think, in the ability of it. You know, I love hearing these old Larry Bird stories. That, you know, talks about how I'm going to score 43 tonight that John Stockton told last week, and he scores 43 and he checks himself out of the game, where he says he's going to play left-handed today, and I feel like playing left-handed. And then they had the great story on TNT the other night where Larry's barking at the Sixers. He's had 30 points in the first half of an exhibition game, and he tells Moses Malone, you better get that old man off me or I'm going to score 60 on you. Dr. J gets mad, and they fight. I mean,
the
trash-talking stories are epic with him. But I know this is that. It's great to see where the NBA is right now. It is incredibly healthy as a game.
Big time.
They have to make some subtle changes, but the reason that the NBA is great is because of the star power in the league. It's all over the place. LeBron, all the Warriors, Harden, all these guys that are going to meet up. And then, you know, you have the Celtics.
And then
too,
now you have this influx of young talent, right? I mean, the young talent we've seen on display throughout these playoffs. I mean, no, you're exactly right. The NBA is in a great situation and extremely healthy. And again, I'll say this, NFL ratings dipping, it's the opposite for NBA ratings. Right now, the NBA is on fire in the ratings game. A lot of people tuning in, a lot of people taking notice.
It's got crossover star power, you know, with like Russell and his fashion, and you've got a lot of guys that cross over into entertainment with rap and movie stars and things like that. So it's really hot right now. It's fun having an NBA team here in Oklahoma City. All right, we will take a break. We have much more coming up on the show. We'll get to some of the events going on in Major League Baseball last night. Yes.
Oh, I want to talk about these series. I took a look. The experts at ESPN have made their NBA Finals picks.
Okay, cool.
Also, I thought it was very interesting. Steve Kerr with what sounded to me like a little bit of trash talk. We'll discuss next.
Dan McLaughlin in San Diego. The Cardinals beat the Padres 2-1. The first place St. Louis Cardinals. Tommy Pham is one of the most underrated players in baseball. 330, average, 6 homers, 15 RBIs, battling a hamstring injury most of the season. Red Sox did salvage one against the Yankees. Mm-hmm. I don't think that much matters because those teams are both, I think, going to make the playoffs. But who wins the division? But that's going to be a great race to watch.
That's a fun.
Both teams are good.
That's a fun rivalry to watch. And those three games, they didn't disappoint. All three games very close down to the end. And I was happy to see the Yankees didn't get the sweep. I'll just leave it at that.
All right, we had we've got some audio from the Red Sox game last night, so Yankee fans, earmuffs.
Led to that inning, and J.D. hits one high in the air to right field. Judge going back, Judge to the track, Judge to the wall, he leaps, and it is gone. A home run for Martinez, just out of the reach of the webbing of the glove of Aaron Judge, and just like that, the Red Sox regain the lead. It's 5-4.
Those teams are loaded up and down the lineup. J.D. Martinez with a home run to win the game.
I was watching. They were doing a good breakdown of this rivalry and then really the way these teams are constructed currently. And it's crazy how much young talent they have that's all homegrown and how a lot of these guys face each other in the minor leagues coming up. It seems like both Yankees and Red Sox are going to be loaded for quite some time.
All right, let's get into the NBA. Steve Kerr going up against the Rockets. Mike D'Antoni, the Latvian missile, the humidity in Houston, all of it he's going to have to take on, and they have to start that series in Houston so far. Steve Kerr's pretty cocky when it comes to – and he's done a great job with that team. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be – it's not that easy to coach the Warriors and manage all those crazy people, and he sits over there on the bench a lot of times, and he looks like, what in the hell is going on out here? But he had a little message for the missile and the Rockets.
I like where we are. Our guys have rings. That's a good position to be in. To me, the hardest championship is the first one, as an individual player and as a team. You don't know. You don't quite know if you can do it.
He went to the championships. He said, look at my trophy case, Houston Rockets. Several championships. We've been there, done that. I thought that was, that was some trash talk right there from Steve Kerr.
That's fine. I think it does send a message because the one thing the Rockets have to prove is they can get it done in the playoffs. And they've got other guys over there that have had some problems in the playoffs. And so he's sending a message and telling them when they read the paper, boys, we are champions.
I'm with you. And here's the deal, though. Like, okay, there's definitely some value in having been there, done that, to be on that stage and know what it takes to be able to win a championship. I can sign off on that. But at the same time, that does you nothing to a degree during this actual series. Like, just because you won championships in the past, it's a new season. It's a new series. So you can take some of those things and have them, and mentally maybe that gives you an advantage. But, again, previous championships, that doesn't mean squat once you get out there and you're in Houston in the Toyota Center and push comes to shove.
There can be all kinds of motivating factors. You can have you can be hungry to win a championship, and that can push you over the edge. But I do think in the NBA – winning experience matters. And if you go back in the history of the league and look, it's really tough for teams sometimes. They have to go through failure and failure and failure before they break through. So we'll see what the Rockets can do. I think that the Warriors are just so talented, put together so well, play so well together. It's going to be a very strong uphill challenge for the Rockets.
So I thought this was interesting. ESPN asked all their NBA experts for their conference finals predictions. All but three, which is interesting, two of our experts, Tim McMahon, Royce Young, picked the Rockets along with Andre Snelling. Everyone else, whatever it is, probably another 20 NBA experts all have the Warriors. So we'll call it 20-3 or whatever it is. And whenever I go down, it's the exact same for Boston.
That's
Cleveland.
Crazy.
Only three people, all different people. This is Chris Forsberg, who covers Boston, by the way.
Okay.
Bobby
same
Marks.
As Tim.
Exactly. And Mark Spears. they have Boston, all the other 20 have Cleveland. So we kind of had that discussion yesterday, you know.
Which makes me feel like I made a good bet with you. It's just an even bet.
It makes me feel like I made a good bet with you.
Same odds for each team.
Basically,
to
yes.
Win.
Very, very, very similar.
Although
basically,
I give more credit. I lean on the Boston side.
And I lean on the Houston side. So that's kind of where we differ. But it seems like most people feel pretty confident in both road teams coming out victorious in these series. Again, I think Houston's going to win game one on Sunday. I really do. I think they're going to start out and they're going to win game one. And
you remember the last time they played in the regular season? Wasn't it a Saturday night game in Houston? Rockets won.
You have to remind me.
It was a Saturday night regular season game in Houston. The Misk can confirmed or deny this.
Yeah, but, the Rockets won the last one time they played in Houston.
They came back. It was a great comeback. It was an excellent game. So that just makes me think that, yeah, bring this on, man. It should be high scoring. It should be fun. There should be a lot of great moments and a lot of high-level basketball. I don't expect as much from the other series because I think that it's going to be more – it'll be a little bit more strategy. And I think that Brad Stevens is going to be able to do some things that makes it tough on the Cavs, where the Steve Kerr, Mike D'Antoni, Rockets, Warriors, all the talent's going to be on that floor. The player's going to decide that. I think they're going to let these guys get out there and play.
I agree with
both
that.
Both teams probably feel like if our players play as well as they can, then we'll win. Missile, you got any strategic elements? We'll ask Royce this when he comes on today, that you're going to throw at Golden State? What are you going to try to do to get them out of their game?
Rockets are just going to play their game. There's not really a reason to throw Golden State out of their game, you know?
So you believe that you get the better players, you're just going to go out there and play your game and let the chips fall where they may?
Pretty much, yeah.
There's nothing you would try to do to attack Golden State?
No.
Because clearly there's got to
be. Play your game.
That's
keep
not the
switching.
Way D'Antoni's thinking about it.
I mean, that's what the Rockets are going to do. They're going to switch every pick like they always do on defense. They're going to try to iso James Harden on Steph Curry, or they'll try to get a mismatch anywhere they go, or maybe even, you know, get Harden on Draymond or Chris Paul on one of them. Chris Paul in the center out there, and that's just how they're going to play. I don't think there's really anything to change when you had the best offense in the league.
I'm banking on Clint Capella having a big series, and that's kind of why I'm leaning towards. I was really impressed with what I've seen with him in the postseason, and to me, he has to be an X factor. Like, I mean, the Houston Rockets just have to play really good to win this series, plain and simple. But I think in particular, his ability at the rim, he has to have a presence. He has to be able to stay on the floor, in my opinion. Against Golden State's small lineup, if they are able to take him off the floor and they can leave him a guy that doesn't really affect the game, I think it's going to be tough for Houston to win. But I look at him as an X factor and give them a huge advantage at that position this series.
I think if Mike D'Antoni operates the way the Missile suggested, they're not going to win the series and it's going to go quickly. I think you're going to have to treat the Warriors as a team. You can't just go out and play your game. Because you're going to have to do some things to try to beat them. One thing I would try to do is I would try to get in Draymond Green's head. That's the last time the Warriors lost in the championship, is because Draymond Green
lost his mind.
And I think Draymond Green's a guy that could lose his mind. And so you've got to try to, I think if you got to try to clown him if you're James Harden, or you've got to try to do some things that make him embarrassed or get him upset. Because if he goes off the floor, then the Rockets may have the advantage. They might actually win. Because he can do so many things. He's that valuable to that entire framework of Golden State, and he is their leader. He's the guy that they look to when things get tough. And so I disagree with Josh. I think that if Mike D'Antoni just goes out there, we're going to do our thing, they're not going to last long in this series. They're not individually, they're not that good, and they don't have the same kind of team concept and coaching as Brad Stevens provides the Celtics.
Yep, I think that's very fair. I mean, I agree with you. You're going to have to do things a little bit different. I don't think you change who you are, but you're going to have to make adjustments, and you're going to have to try to take some things away from Golden State. That is exactly what I would try to do. I would try to get inside the mind of Mr. Draymond Green, because we've seen right here in Oklahoma City during that series and the following series when they play against Cleveland, he was his own worst enemy, and he's been that way throughout the course of the year. He's a ticking time bomb waiting to go off. So somebody needs to light the fuse.
That's right. I don't know. Elsewhere, I mean, I think you can really try to – I mean, the one thing you have to do for the Warriors is you have to – remember the Oklahoma City game when they were playing really well, the third one at Golden State?
Yep.
And they were hanging in, even though Oklahoma City wasn't shooting very well. They did a great job of staying with Steph. where, and Klay Thompson to a certain degree too, where you don't let those guys somehow be in an open spot and get an open shot. And Klay Thompson, I think, struggled early in that game. But once those guys start to feel it, you're done. I mean, they get open and they can get their shots off so well that you have to stay with them. And so switching and all those kind of things sometimes is, you know, I understand, but there's value to be said for we're not going to switch at times. We're going to get all over somebody. We're going to fight over screens. And if they go to the basket, so be it. We got Capella in there. But we're not going to let a guy on a switch get open in the corner for a three-point shot because the Warriors can score, I mean, incredibly fast. They've got better scores than the Rockets. If this becomes a series of who scores the most, Golden State's going to win that series.
I'll give you another thing for me, Missile, turnovers. Like they have, and I think that's what one of the things that I like so much about Chris Paul is he doesn't turn the basketball over. He values the basketball. But I think if you give Golden State easy runouts, points in transition, that's going to be very problematic. And on the flip side of that, Golden State, as great as they are offensively, Mark, they turn the ball over a lot. And that's one thing that, you know, Houston Rockets, they get their hands on a lot of basketball. So I think that needs to be drastically skewed in Houston's favor. What do you think, Missile?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, turnover, you don't want to turn the ball over and you want the other team to turn it over. So, yeah, it's something Houston needs. Those fast break points will be key, especially against Golden State. They have a good defense. Both teams do. It'd be key for both teams. So, yeah, I mean, turnovers are huge.
All right, we've had a dignitary walk into Levisage, so we need to take a timeout. We've got Royce Young coming up the next hour. We may have a little surprise up our sleeve. Who knows? Stay tuned to the Monsters of the Midday.
Roofing, the best in roofing in the Oklahoma City Metro, whether it's commercial or residential. If you need anything done to your roof, call the pros at Preferred Roofing, 792-2222. He definitely raised the roof. Just can't sign off on him being raised into the rafters. I apologize. I'm sure it's blasphemy.
I don't think it's blasphemy.
And if the Oklahoma City Thunder want to put Nick Collison's jersey in the rafters, I'm not going to yell and scream. I would just say he was a fantastic pillar of the Oklahoma City organization, a great teammate, a great everything. We can go on and on and on. But to me, when I look at jerseys up in rafters, those are the great players on the floor that performed at the highest level in that organization's history. And as great as all these things, and I think it's awesome what we did yesterday and what the Morning Animals did this morning and the Thunder. I mean, everyone should really embrace Nick Collison, the career he had, and the impact he's had on Oklahoma City and the Thunder organization. All that is real. But what's also real is he started 55 games in Oklahoma City in 10 years. That's real. Now, to me, that does not warrant getting your jersey risen up into the rafters like I think you should put Russell Westbrook's or you should put Kevin Durant's. To me, those are two completely different things. I think there's probably a way you honor Nick Collison for his, you know, his hard work and all that he's done. But
I'm not
putting
mad.
His jersey in the rafters. And I'll just say this. I've asked two season ticket holder Thunder fans that are two of my best friends. And I asked one of my buddies at the gym this morning, who's a Thunder fan. I asked them all the same question. Should Nick Collison's jersey be raised in the rafters? And one of them laughed, and the other two said, absolutely not.
No, not based on merit, but I understand why people feel that way, because for the first time that Oklahoma City's been an NBA franchise, a professional sports franchise of relevance. I mean, he's a guy that stayed here the entire time, and he wanted to be here, and you know, he stuck it out with this team, and was a great mentor to the team.
Not going to refute any of that.
I don't even think Nick Collison would say that his jersey deserves to hang in the rafters. So,
right. At Kansas, yes. At Fog Allen Fieldhouse, yes.
But I get why people feel so loyal to him, because he was loyal to Oklahoma City, and I think he embodies the first era or the initial run of the Oklahoma City Thunder here. So
I agree with all that.
Missile, yesterday, I was glued to the radio.
It was highly entertaining. Highly entertaining.
What was going through your mind when you were hearing the story of Jim throwing a kid in the creek?
I totally believed him. I thought it sounded like something he'd do.
No, I could tell, though, you were very intrigued because you asked him how deep the creek was. That was a good question.
Is that your first thought? Like, when he threw him in a creek, is it like, you know, I imagine like water running.
What happened to the kid?
Did he like, yeah, was he drowning? Did he just throw him on some rocks?
We say threw him into like a bed of rocks, and then there's some water on it. I think I'd rather be throwing water than.
Yeah.
It just continued to escalate, though. I mean, it was like a bigger and badder person kept entering the story.
Well, here's what I didn't understand, though. Here's what I didn't get. Because he said at first that the kid punched him, right? And so then he threw his brother into the creek. And then he said that he threw the guy into the creek, and that's when his brother punched him. And that's when Jim went and got his brother. So it kind of changed. I'm sure maybe Jim just kind of got confused on
based on
where he was in the story.
How people get put on hold on the station.
I didn't
know if it was an anti-bullying stance or a pro-bullying stance.
I loved hearing Jim talk about how A, he can take a punch, and then B, he dominated some dude and threw him in a creek. That was pretty glorious.
And then he took a punch, and his brother went and finished the deal.
he said Jim went to the door. And told the guy to come outside, and the guy had no idea what's going on. And his brother,
hey,
just pounds a dude. You know, I got thrown off a football team for something like that. But, you know, other people, we laugh it up.
Dusty's schedule is pretty busy, but Missile, you know, there's only one thing for us to do here, is to recreate that in the form of a audio like book or movie.
An audio book.
We need to get some people. We need to recreate it. We need to get some people like of note to recreate that scene.
Jim's on. You know, Jim's always on. On Eshbach about his memoirs, you know, Jim needs to start putting his memoirs down. And I think that what we can do once we get them in paper, we can go then reenact them. How about that?
Yeah. I want to reenact this one scene. I think we had $1 million idea on our hands.
I think that'd be good. I think some of the stuff needs to be scrutinized. We might need to interview other people that were involved, you know?
Louis, would you like to be the
No. Now, wait a second. Absolutely not.
What is one of the main tenets of this show?
Missile. Never let facts get in the way of a good story.
Good point.
We're taking the ultimate at his word. Okay? What he says is biblical.
We may even make up some stuff.
All right? We don't want other people's opinion or other people's thoughts of what might have happened. We want the truth, and we only get the truth.
That
the
dude
ultimate.
Is getting thrown in a raging river unconscious. Somehow, some way, he's going to rise out of that raging river to get his brother to come punch the ultimate.
Then he was talking later in the show. He was in a very violent mood yesterday. He was talking later about the, and I'm kind of with him, the depths that people go to call your phone and get you put on these different lists, the telemarketers. It is pretty outrageous. But Jim was saying that he like dreams about the day that he drives by just some random house and he sees them in there with the headsets on. And he said he'd take a baseball bat and go in there and destroy all their equipment.
That'd be another great scene to reenact.
It hasn't even happened yet. We can do things from his past and things from his future. I'm telling you, it could be, you know, everything is going viral. We do not need any type of television contract between the Missile savviness and your production skills. We can put this thing together and we can have it up and run it on Facebook Live.
If the ultimate went in and smashed these robocallers, the call centers that call you with a bat, he would be our next president.
He found them.
I'm not kidding.
What if these things? I think these things operate like out of Costa Rica or something.
Traber 2020. You would be the next. You would be the next.
You would walk to Costa Rica to get this stuff.
I will say this: as crazy as this sounds, you know, Trump is our president, so it's not too far fetched to say that the ultimate could be our governor. I mean, honestly.
I think he would be president.
And if he could eradicate telemarketers, I mean, the sky is the limit.
Missile, you would take the job of Sarah Sanders, wouldn't you, from the Ultimates administration?
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. It better be well paying.
I'd love to see Missile up there fielding questions from the firing
squad.
Next question.
Next question.
The Ultimate doesn't have to answer those.
Put him on hold.
The Ultimate would do his own
pressers. Give him the muzzle.
Would you put
the ultimate
would
wouldn't
the,
have a press secretary? He would do his own pressers, and he would go out there and, you know, why doesn't this paper print out when I do stuff right? It's only when things are wrong, when I'm wrong, which is rarely ever, do they write something about me.
He would definitely be against the Washington Post, a liberal institution.
Oh man, it was. I will say this: highly entertaining yesterday.
It was good.
I was.
Thank you.
I was on the edge of my seat. Edge of my seat.
I wonder if the Ultimate's going to throw Craig in a river over Tiger Woods.
You know, he said something else the other day too, Missile. He was talking to you about when he was playing in the minors, and I could have sworn he said something about Mexico. Do you remember him talking about Mexico and the minors?
Yeah, he played there for.
No, I know what it was. So you know, we always make the comparison with him and his. I mean, the story's already been written off him. Eastbound and Down. I mean,
right.
The show's there, but a lady called in and she was a substitute teacher, and then Jim started talking about his brief stint as a substitute teacher. And if you've watched Eastbound and Down, you guys know he served as a substitute as well. So I was just thinking, like, they both played in Mexico. I mean, like, there was really some strong parallels that are starting to be drawn. The more I learn about Jim Traber, the more I realize it's like Finkel is Einhorn, Einhorn is Finkel. Traber is Powers, Powers is Traber.
Jim got chased by a bunch of killer bees in Mexico. That's going to go in the book. We're here at Le Visage today, where you can do something nice for your mom or someone else's mom. Purchase a $100 gift card and receive a complimentary greeting card. So you can do a one-stop shop right here. 321-FACE, 321-3223. Give your mom what she wants for Mother's Day, the gift of rejuvenation and pampering at Le Visage in the Brookhaven Village near Louis.
I read an article today that told me I need to ask my child for permission before I change her diaper. We'll discuss next. Here's the midday. Happy Friday, everyone, and happy Mother's Day, all you fantastic mothers out there, even though it's not till Sunday. We'll go ahead and throw it out there now because we're with you today. It won't be Sunday. We do hope all the mothers out there get great gifts. And, Mark, we've got a great place for them to come by, or for husbands or sons or anyone that wants to get something very nice for a mother in their life. We're at the perfect place for that, Mark.
We're at Le Visage in Brookhaven Village in Norman. Very easy to find, next to Louis, 321-3223. And if you purchase a $100 gift card, you're going to receive a free complimentary greeting card from them. Everything mom wants, the gift of pampering and rejuvenation right here at Le Visage. I highly recommend it. So come in and see us today. We'll be here for the next hour.
Okay, I got a couple things here to get to, and then something very odd that I came across this morning while getting ready for the show on Yahoo, and I'll get Mark's thoughts on whether this woman is a genius or a crazy person, maybe a little bit of both.
Crazy.
One thing, first of all, you know, Big Ben's been getting a lot of heat, as well he should, showing his insecurity, showing his lack of maturity in the way he chose to handle talking about going to the – basically setting up a radio interview so that he could rip the drafting of Mason Rudolph, go upstairs to the coaches, to the GM. You've been there 14 years. You have that kind of stroke, and handle it that way, as opposed to out in the media for all to see. So he's been taking a lot of heat for that. I guess Mason Rudolph lets everyone know that Big Ben did reach out to him yesterday prior to their mini camp, and he has told him, wishes him good luck. So
all right,
it sounds like Big Ben is already on the he's mending fences with the new rookie up in Pittsburgh. Not surprising. Again, the surprising part was that Big Ben came out in a forum in which he chose to speak about it. But it sounds like Mason Rudolph is well on his way to winning over Big Ben.
So hard to feel sorry for Big Ben because of all the weapons that he has on offense, the fact that he's complained about retiring in the past, and some of those things. Just go win, man. You got as much weaponry as anyone in football.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. All right, this is for you Cowboy fans. We talk about this all the time, unfortunately. But injuries are a big part of football, and even whenever it's off-season, whether it's OTA workouts or just off-season program conditioning, injuries happen. But Malik Collins, defensive tackle, he breaks his foot, so he will be sidelined for the foreseeable future. And, you know, he was a solid rotational player for the Cowboys last year. 2.5 sacks, 3 tackles for loss, 25 quarterback pressures. So that on top of David Irving, he's already been suspended for the start of next season. Those are two of your starters along your defensive line. Not the way you want to go into the offseason for the Cowboys, especially up front. Not good to hear about Malik Collins. He's had a nice couple of years I think he's a third, fourth round pick coming out of Nebraska. Thought he's been a solid player inside for him.
I agree with that. I think that the more negative, you have to kind of keep a check mark of who's skipping training camp, who's hurt, you know, all those kind of situations, who's suspended, and the more of those that mount, the worse it's going to be for your team. It's hard to recover from going in the hole early in the season.
Malik Collins should be back by camp. That's fine. What's scary is it's the same foot, the same metatarsal he broke previously in 2016. No, it's just his fifth metatarsal in his foot. So, but anyway.
Isn't that the Jones? The Jones fracture, the same thing that
but your metatarsal and where your Jones, I believe, I don't want to start lying, but I think the Jones is a joint, right, where the metatarsal meets, whereas I think when you just break your metatarsal, that's just a straight bone. There's a fracture there within the bone. I don't think that the actual Jones joint or whatever it is.
Someone called the show during that time were we together and said that he fractured the sixth metatarsal.
He's got a six toe.
Not, some people have that, but not many.
A six toe?
That's what I'm saying, yeah. It could be like you sound smart, start talking all smart, and you say, yeah, it's the seventh metatarsal. Okay, I'll take it.
I don't know if that makes you sound smart or makes you sound really,
really
dumb. It makes
you sound really dumb. I'm just saying.
Lack of smart.
Five toes, five metatarsals.
All right, that's kind of some real business from the NFL. Let me give you kind of some what I came across and I thought was just some good fun stories. Again, it's aside from baseball, we got a little bit of hockey. It's not a real heavy sports time. We do have the player championship, and we can give you an update on that. But I thought these were some pretty good stories that were definitely worth sharing. Blake Bortles and some of his teammates, Mark, they were at a Jacksonville beach house party, having a great time. Teammate Brandon Linder was hosting the party on Wednesday night. Everybody's inside having a good time. All of a sudden, they hear a bit of a ruckus outside, and they come to find 18-year-old Joseph Horton. Mark, do you know what Joseph Horton was up to?
I have no idea. What was he doing?
Joseph.
Looking for autographs?
Well, it would have been a smart thing to do. No, he was looking to rob these NFL football players. Joseph was going car to car. He had actually stolen Blake Bortles' wallet. He had gotten into Blake Bortles' Ford F-150, Mark, to try to steal the truck and the wallet, but there were so many cars, he could not get the car out of the driveway. Well, I guess while he's trying to back Blake Bortles' car out, Blake Bortles noticed this is going on. There was a bit of a ruckus out front, and so Blake and a couple of his teammates go outside, and they apprehend young Joseph Horton, and they call the authorities, and the authorities come and take Joseph away, because like I told you, you can never hide in today's world. There were video cameras, and they caught him red-handed going through cars, stealing wallets, and trying to steal Blake Bortles' Ford F-150. So not Blake Bortles, not only a starting quarterback, but it sounds like potentially an investigator in his downtime as well. I thought that was pretty well done by the Jacksonville quarterback. I can't believe that this
they
kid
didn't
wasn't
throw him in the creek.
I can't believe that this kid didn't get ultimate styled and gotten beat to a pulp before the police showed up.
I think that they would have thrown him in the creek. So that's good, man. You shouldn't steal other people's things.
He was arrested and charged with burglary, trespassing, and grand theft.
You know what'll happen to him? He'd probably get probation and get out and steal somebody's other stuff. But then when somebody steals your stuff, doesn't that make you want them like to pay severe consequences. So I hope they roughed him up a little bit.
I had a teammate in college who stole from me.
Mm-hmm.
And I still dislike him to this day.
All right, you should.
I moved out. We were actually roommates, believe it or not. Stole from me, took my debit card out of my truck, okay, went and took money out, stole from me. When I went to try, and then my debit card was missing, and then it reappeared. And then whenever I go to check my online record, there was $100 that was taken out that wasn't by me. And when I confront my roommate, I don't know what you're talking about, man. That's crazy.
Mm.
I was off to a different living arrangement within the week. So, yes, I know firsthand what it's like to be have someone steal from you. And let's just face it, it's not nice, which I got to give it up to these football players. You would have thought that if they would have come across, because what? They're at a party. They're having a good time, probably having a few drinks. Come across this kid. He's trying to steal their stuff. The kid's lucky he didn't walk into a buzzsaw.
I was going to say, don't lie. Those guys would like nothing more than to catch him.
So I'm saying, like, I'm so, Blake Bortles had to be the voice. Like, our offensive line in Chicago, if the Chicago Bears offensive line at that time by Olin Krutz and Reuben Brown would have come across an 18-year-old trying to steal out of their vehicles, it would have been a bad situation. So clearly the fine folks in Jacksonville, the players, living a little bit better than maybe some of the guys I played with. Also, yesterday, Mark, I thought this was an odd story, and I'm glad that you had seen it too because you can add some context. But David Price has carpal tunnel syndrome, and though he's saying that the cause is not his rampant video game playing, I guess he's into Fortnite. I got to tell you, I hear that's the cat's meow or whatever the proper phrase is nowadays. It's lit. It's on fire.
Josh, do you,
whatever it
do you
is.
Play Fortnite?
I've never even seen Fortnite.
No,
I have no
I
idea what
Fortnite.
It even is.
Okay, he doesn't play. It's a big deal. It's clearly a big deal.
Well, this, I mean, to the point that David Price isn't just playing this at home. He's playing this in the clubhouse, like prior to starts, before and after practice.
What? In the clubhouse?
Yes. Like, that's why he's like now saying that he's doing away with Fortnite. Though he's not willing to say that this is what caused his carpal tunnel syndrome.
Oh, well, you know it did.
I'd be my guess, yes. The video game.
I was telling you
absolutely.
The University of Ohio is offering scholarships now to people that play Fortnite. E-gaming is a big deal, but I'll tell you this. I'm going to probably take a dirt nap before I know what e-gaming is or get involved in it. My son probably be different.
I just can't go there. I don't.
What do you do when you play Fortnite? Is that like an alternate reality game?
I have no idea what it even is.
Josh, you know? What do you do?
I don't know. Sorry.
Well, I can. At my house, we play. What's the game that my kids play? I tell you about all the time.
I'm,
the blocks.
Yeah, that's Minecraft.
Minecraft.
It's a little bit like that.
So is it like Minecraft?
I think it's a more adult version of Minecraft.
So it's adult Minecraft. So I'm looking up Fortnite. I've never even looked it up. This looks like it's like an adult version of Minecraft.
I cannot believe that you would play a video game that is. Has some addictive components to it in the clubhouse when you're getting paid as much money as David
Price. How do people get that? Listen, here, for real, like in college, like I like to play some video games. I wasn't like a gamer, but, you know, you get me on the stick, some NCAA football, definitely all about the Mario Kart. I mean, we used to really get in. We put the Nintendo 64 in, and at that time, James Bond on the 64, man, we would get it going. But, like, you know, these alternate realities or what appears to look like Fortnite, I don't get how people get so enthralled by it, but B, where do people have time? Like, I don't have time to play. I don't have time to do the things I need to do, let alone go play video games.
Bro, they're going pro. It's just a career.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Going to work, going to the office?
That's exactly right.
So what'd you do today? Oh, man, I put in some hard work today, man.
I'm up at the top. I'm going to say, my friend Marcus texts me and says, it's Hunger Games with 100 people.
Hunger Games with 100 people.
So you're playing online against other people.
And you're trying to kill them? You're trying to survive?
Yes, I think so. That's it. I've seen it played. Yeah.
So you've
Tiffany
seen
Sun
it?
Tiffany Sun so why Spencer been... wants to go pro in Fortnite. He's playing it a lot. He's very flattered by his ability.
So what do you do as a parent now? Like, now the kid can say, look, I'm just trying to earn a scholarship.
It's the same thing somebody should have told me when I was out practicing in the driveway. I'm spending too much time shooting baskets. I'm 47 years old. I still have a hell of a set shot, Dusty. I've cashed nothing on it. Nothing.
So I just need to know, do I need to take my kid out of baseball, out of soccer, and just go all in on the Fortnite?
I don't think it's time to do that yet. No, I don't think so.
But, I mean, if that's part of the plan, then aren't I just wasting time? I mean, like, you know, kind of like with the Thunder, if you know something isn't going to work already and you continue, you know, you're just wasting time. So why don't I just go ahead and cut it off now and just go full gamer? I can promise you my son will love me more. There's no doubt in my mind.
That's not good parenting. Speaking of which,
thank you. That's a very nice, very nice transition. Before we have coming up next, Royce Young. So I'm always looking for a good article or something, and I'm on Yahoo today, and I come across this article, and it really left me a little bit dumbfounded. Here is Deanne Carson, who is a sexuality expert, and she has some advice for the parents throughout this great planet.
I'm going to change your nappy now. Is that okay? Of course, the baby's not going to respond. Yes, Mum, that's awesome. I'd love to have my nappy changed. But if you leave a space and wait for body language and wait to make eye contact, then you're letting that child know that their response matters.
So Deanne Carson of Australia.
Golly.
She is a sexuality expert. And this was on ABC, by the way. She's told parents that they need to ask their baby's permission before changing their nappies, as you heard it. By the way, maybe we should call it nappies because I guess dirty diaper isn't good enough, so we'll just call it a nappy. But we need to, as parents, we need to ask our babies for permission before changing the nappy in order to set up a culture of consent from birth. Mark, I changed a couple of nappies yesterday on my sweet baby girl. But I can promise you what's in that nappy is not sweet, and it's not innocent, and she does not want me to clean it from her. So if I were to ask for her consent, and she doesn't give it, do I just leave her in the dirty nappy? Is that what Deanne Carson, is that what she thinks?
It applies very, very well to the Fortnite story. When you let your child play Fortnite all the time, he may think it's best for him, but it's clearly not. That's why you are the older person. And you give guidance. It's why you don't sometimes move a three-year-old out on their own.
That their response matters.
I think that they sometimes, even, you know, even big kids sometimes don't know what's best for them. Australia's the toughest place on the world, right? I mean,
that's right.
They've got more poisonous snakes and crocodiles.
You've got to be
200 degree
temperatures. Living in Australia.
Scorpions. That's right. This woman is not. She's not. She's going to be out of Australia pretty quickly.
I'm going to try it today. I'm going to
I'm going to change
daughter,
your nappy now.
I'm going to say, Sloan, I'm going to change her nappy now. I hope that's okay. And I guess if she squirms off, I guess I'm just going to leave her in her nappy.
That's ridiculous.
I'm going to try and see if Deanne Carson is onto something or if she's just going to make my house smell like poo. That's what's going to happen here, Deanne. I'm going to leave that diaper on. You know what I'm going to have? I'm going to have diaper rash I got to deal with. Then I got to apply ointment. Do I have to ask to if I apply the ointment? My house is going to smell like manure. That's going to be great for the guests that come in. So, you know, while Deanne, I feel like she maybe in her own mind, she thinks that there's something to this and it's going to help shape the lives of the next age of people in this great planet. I'm going to say that there's far more things that can be a negative than a positive in this situation.
Some people have lost their minds. We're at Le Visage today, where if you are a smart person, you would come and get a gift certificate for your mom for Mother's Day. Mother's Day is coming up on Sunday. If you spend $100 here, they will throw in a gift card for free so you don't have to make an extra trip. 321-FACE, 321-3223 in Norman, the Brookhaven Village right next to Louis. Gift card for Mother's Day. It's a one-stop shop. You can have it in the next few seconds by calling that number. Royce Young.
Does he ask his babies if he can change their nappies?
I have no idea.
We'll discuss next. Welcome back. It is the Monsters of the Midday on a Friday. I made a nappy last segment on one of the things that I said. I want to apologize to Cowboy fans out there. I misread the article I was reading on Malik Collins. Fear not. David Irving was suspended last year, not this year yet. So for now, the Cowboys have yet to have a suspension. So I actually think that's a standing ovation at this point. Missile, if you could, can we give it up to the Cowboys? For here we are almost in the middle of May, and they have yet to have a player suspended. Things are looking up, and we welcome to the show Mr. Royce Young of ESPN. Royce, I have to tell you, fantastic get on the Nick Collison piece. That was an excellent read, man. Well done.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it. It was more Nick than it was me. But and I feel like I've told everybody this that's asked about it, that you know, a lot of times with these type of as-told-to essays, that people make a very strong assumption that it was completely ghostwritten and that I did everything and Nick just said yes. But Nick was very involved in it, and I give him a ton of credit because he worked hard on it, and he wanted his voice to come through. He wanted to be very, very authentic with it, which I think that he was. I don't think it was like a bunch of PR fluff that he was just trying to appease everybody and say all the right things and be really inspirational. I think he wanted to be real and authentic, and I just commend Nick for doing a great job with it.
What? Tell me about what he meant to the team. I mean, I know that people think that he meant all this and was such a stabilizing presence in the locker room, but you covered it. So tell us exactly what his role has been with the Thunder the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, I think that a lot of times when it comes to, like, the veteran leadership, quote-unquote, Mark, that a lot of people can overrate what that means, right? Like, there's a lot of times that you view these locker room guys in a way that you, like, as if they're really truly counting in terms of wins and losses. And let's be real, that doesn't necessarily happen. But I think when it comes to somebody like Nick Collison, like, look, Nick Collison, like, some rah-rah speech that he was going to give in the locker room, that wasn't necessarily going to, like, reflect itself on the scoreboard. What I think Nick Collison stood for, and really this goes back to when the organization came to Oklahoma City and all the way through, was he really was a culture setter. And when you talk about Thunder culture, and people, I think, sometimes can kind of make fun of that and what culture means, but if you talk to other executives around the league, they want what the Thunder have. They want the culture. That's what new regimes come in, and they point to teams like San Antonio and Miami and Oklahoma City and Utah now, and they point and they say, we want that. We want what those teams have. We want to have that kind of backbone and core standard and philosophy in our program. How do we do that? And guys like Nick Collison is how you do that. And, for him to show up and display the kind of professionalism and class, yeah, I don't think it necessarily it didn't always reflect itself on the court. But, look at young players. I think somebody like Steven Adams is a great example of it. And it's not like that Nick Collison is, like, coaching him up or anything, but just the little things that Nick Collison would do, which is, I think this is something that I told somebody this morning, that people don't realize how often players are late for practice, late for shoot-around, don't show up to practice, don't show up to shoot-around. Happens a lot in the NBA. Nick Collison, I don't know that he ever was late or missed practice. And that type of stuff trickles down to the young players that see, this guy's been in the NBA for 12, 13, 14 years, and he still shows up to practice. He runs stairs after it. He shoots his free throws. He plays hard on 3-and-3 pickup games. If I want to make it in this league and I want to have a long career, I got to do that too. So I guess all of that to say is that Nick Collison, a lot of it was, is just he kind of set the standard for a lot of other players that came through.
I think that's well said. He set the standard, professional, classy, and he did all the little things, right? He'll step in front of you, take a charge, fundamentally sound. I mean, a guy that you just love to have in your locker room. I thought it was very cool. Seemed like he was very honest in this piece, Royce. Like,
right.
And it kind of felt to me like as he reflects and looks back, he definitely has that feeling of, man, what could have been but never was with that nucleus and that group they had for a few years.
Yeah, in some ways, Dusty, it was kind of while it was saying goodbye to Nick Collison, it was kind of an interesting retrospective over the last decade of professional basketball in Oklahoma City, right? I mean, it kind of, like, Nick Collison almost closes a chapter, I feel like, in this era of Thunder basketball with, when he came to the team, it was Westbrook, Durant, and then they drafted James Harden, Serge Ibaka came in, and Nick kind of takes you through that, and I think that it kind of reminds you, I think there's a lot of what ifs involved in that. It's like, wanting to have more time together. And I think it also kind of reminds you of how many great players have played in Oklahoma City. And while, I think you wish that they could have stayed, you wish that everybody could have been here and that, it could have lasted for a lot longer. It also kind of illustrates that despite all the great players coming and going, I mean, the Thunder have been really successful over a 10-year span, which is kind of unusual in the NBA. So, I think that, it makes you kind of lament the fact that they didn't ever raise a banner. They didn't ever win a championship. And I think Nick probably regrets that himself when you think about the 2012 Thunder and how long it seemed like that window of opportunity was going to exist with Durant, Westbrook, and Harden. But at the same time, it just kind of makes you reflect on it and say, like, there's a lot of great players that have come and played professional basketball in Oklahoma City. And you didn't even mention Paul George, Victor Oladipo, Carmelo Anthony in the thing,
Do you think he'll want to stay around maybe in a media role or a front office role for the team?
Could be a great color analyst.
Yeah. I don't know what his next steps are. And, in talking to Nick, I don't think he's even really thought about it all that much. I think that he's quite interested in getting a little bit away from the game of basketball and spending some time with his 12-year-old daughter, Emma, and spending time with his girlfriend and kind of getting back to his family. Nick Collison is going to have a place in basketball wherever he wants it. And whether that's coaching, I don't know if he'd be interested in that. It's interesting to me. I think Luke Walton is the same age as Nick Collison. So, like,
when you talk about, you know, potential coaching ability, like Nick Collison, I think, would make a great head coach. I don't know if that's something he's truly interested in, but, you know, nobody knows the game quite like he does. But I think the Thunder have, you know, basically an open position reserved for Nick Collison in whatever aspect that he might want, whether it was in the front office. They would create some fancy job title, I'm sure, and slap it on him at any moment. But, you know, like you said, Mark, I think that, you know, broadcasting could be something that he's interested in, too. I think he'd be great at it, especially if he really dug in and felt comfortable, because Nick is quite a funny guy.
He's not going to go pro in Fortnite, right? I mean, he still wants to stay around the game?
I don't think so. I think he was okay. The one guy I was told that does not play Fortnite on the team. So Nick was not some video gamer.
Royce, you're on the Rockets in the Western
Conference. I like it, Royce. That a boy. Come on over to my side. Royce. I like it. Yeah.
Are you the Rockets too, Dusty?
You're smarter than that.
Rockets in seven, Royce. Let's go.
Tell me how's this going to happen? How do you attack Golden State?
Well, that's a good question. Here's the reason I went Rockets, Mark, is, you know, it's not like I feel good. I picked the Warriors in every single series over the last 3 years, basically. And part of it is it's just kind of fatigue and boredom. It's like, man, I just want to pick somebody else. I kind of want somebody else to win in some ways. But I do think the Rockets have built something that can kind of stand up to what Golden State does. I think with all the wing depth that they have, they have toughness, they have players, they can defend both sides of the floor. I think if there's a team that can kind of, you know, like we talked about the other day, what Golden State hits you with is these avalanches of momentum, and I think the Rockets are kind of built to withstand it. Those 3 or 4 minute runs where it feels like I just hit you at 14-2 and you can't recover from it, the Rockets can recover. So I think that they can slow the game down. You know, that's one of the things that people don't realize about the Houston Rockets is everybody thinks of them as this up and down team. Mike D'Antoni, 7 seconds or less. The Rockets were in the bottom half of the league in pace. They want to kind of grind you out. They want to ISO you. They want to slow the game down, and they want to play really, really good defense. And to me, that's a little bit of a formula to beat the Warriors, is that you can control tempo, control pace, and let guys like James Harden and Chris Paul generate you pretty good offense. And, again, the Rockets play good defense. So I think that's kind of – they've got a team built that I think can stand up to, and I think home court's going to matter.
I disagree with that. I think, because remember last year we were talking about how Houston didn't have, they're selling dollar beers and dollar hot dogs to try to get people in the stands for the Thunder game. I just don't
think
that's
true. I mean, their home crowd stinks. There's no doubt about it. I was down there for those series. The lower bowl was, you know, only about 70% full for all those games. So it's not like they have a great home environment, but
they're all stuck outside the arena in traffic. They couldn't get in. Well, I think these series are going to be really fun to watch. I think the other series won't be as aesthetically pleasing.
How many games can you give the Rockets, Mark? How many games can they
set the over-under on this series at six?
And he's taking the under.
I would take the under and feel good about pushing.
He thinks it's going to be five.
If it goes seven, Houston's going to have a chance, a much better chance.
Yeah. I think game one.
If it comes down to one shot on Houston's home floor, then I'll agree with Royce there. I think the home court could matter.
I've got Houston in seven, and I've got Cavs in six. I think that they could make it five, but the safe play is six.
Yeah, that's my same pick for that series. I think I've got Cavs in six. And you know, again, it's a lot of people, you know, maybe a little bit more dismissive of the Celtics than we ought to be, but I think that we've all been taught a valuable lesson that until further notified, you don't pick against LeBron James. That's just what you don't do. So
I've resisted the temptation to be sucked in and drawn into the narrative today of the LeBron-Michael Jordan story. We don't have those kind of shows that we have to talk about it, where one side takes one and the other. You're not there yet, are you either?
No, taking LeBron over MJ?
Yes, right. Okay.
No, I mean, look, I think it's at some point, this is when LeBron decides to retire, it's a conversation worth having, and I think you can lay it all out and look at one versus the other. And, you know, there's certain things that LeBron has on Jordan that I think that you could say that you can make a strong case for LeBron. You know, I think LeBron has played in a much more competitive NBA than Michael Jordan has. So I think that's one aspect of it that you kind of have to consider. But, you know, there's no doubt about it. MJ was 6-0 in finals, and that counts. And LeBron doesn't have that kind of record. So, you know, there's going to be there's bullet points for both. But, look, I grew up on MJ. I mean, like, you know, I was 10, 12, 13 years old when MJ was at the peak of his power. So there's no chance that I'm going to pick against MJ because there's been no professional athlete that's resonated with me quite like Michael Jordan. So it's even as great as LeBron is, I'm an MJ guy for life.
Hey, what'd you think about Dwayne Casey being fired in Toronto? Fair or foul?
I think it's completely foul. I think it's absolutely ridiculous and absurd. But I will say this. I don't know the interior dynamics. I don't know what was necessarily going on. I don't know if there was a disconnect between the front office and Dwayne Casey, and there may have been. And I think this is important to note. Dwayne Casey was going into the last year of his contract, and a lot of times with coaches, when they go into that last year, they want it's basically either extend me or fire me because they want that security versus not having to coach out the season and not know what's going to happen. And that might have been what happened, but I just think if the Raptors overreacted to the point of they got swept, so we're firing you, I think that's completely ridiculous because Dwayne Casey deserved better than that.
Very good, Royce. Well, you have a great weekend. Also, we had a discussion. There is a sexual expert out there that is claiming that we parents should ask our children permission before changing their nappies, which is also here in the States, it's a dirty diaper. Will you adhere to that type of philosophy, or are you just going to change
your diaper
regardless?
Now.
I'm supposed to ask my 18-month-old or something, like, hey, man, can I change your diaper now? No.
That's correct. And you need to get permission before doing so. Are you going to adhere to that? Or? Is that a world that Royce Young doesn't want to live in?
No, make mommy do it. That's what I'm going to start hoping for.
That was my philosophy. I changed one.
So maybe I should. Maybe it's
Mark's not a diaper changer. No. Very good, Royce. Have a great weekend. Right. We'll talk to you on Monday.
All right, see ya.
All right, we're here at Lay Besides today. You still have time to come in and get a gift for your mom here that she would love, the gift of pampering and rejuvenation at Lay Besides in the Brookhaven Village. 321-FACE, 321-3223. If you purchase a $100 gift card, you're going to receive a free complimentary greeting card, which you got to have the greeting card. If you don't have the greeting card, you haven't done it right. So we're here at Lay Besides. Take advantage of these great deals before Mother's Day. We'll wrap it up next. Stay tuned.
Night a week or 100% online. Go to macu.edu.
Mother, tell your children not to look my way. Tell your children not to hear my words.
Welcome back. It's the final segment of the week for the Monsters of the Midday and for all you mothers out there. Hope you have a great weekend. We very much appreciate you. And all for all you men out there, you better get the mother something nice. Why don't you come by here? We're at Le Visage, Marcus.
321-FACE, 321-3223. If you buy a $100 gift card, you're going to receive a complimentary greeting card, which you have to have that for the mother in your life. Give the gift of rejuvenation and pampering here in the Brookhaven Village at Le Visage. Something that your mother can come take advantage of at any time, but you can get all your shopping taken care of in one spot, and you know your mom will love it here at Le Visage.
Okay, so a couple of things I want to talk about. One of them, just Dwayne Casey, and it sounds like everybody is just killing this move. And it's easy to be on that side of it, and I'm not saying I'm like full-blown. I think it would have been fine if they would have kept him, but I don't have the issue that a lot of people seem to about getting rid of a 59-win coach and a coach that's he won Coach of the Year this year. But, Mark, something has to change. Like, you can't just keep doing the exact same thing over and over and over and expecting different results. So I thought that, A, when you just look at the last three playoff appearances, especially with this one, lackluster, he's been a great regular season coach. Since he's been there, I think the fifth highest win total in the regular season, 64%. But he's a 42% playoff coach since he's been in Toronto. So has he gotten them as far as he can take them? Maybe that's part of the thinking. And I think you have to be a forward thinker because it's hard to say we've got to 59 wins, the one seed, yet this is as far as we can go. Okay. I think that also what happened between him and DeMar DeRozan is real. Okay, and I think that relationship there was extremely strained, which was going to lead into a very awkward year next year. And typically NBA teams are going to side with the player, the star, over the coach every single time. And I can just tell you from this standpoint, as a Mavericks fan, Avery Johnson won over 50 games for three straight years in Dallas. They won 67 the year before he was let go. He was let go in 2008, 3 years later. the Dallas Mavericks go on to win a championship under Rick Carlisle.
Better coach.
He was a better coach, and they had gotten – Avery was great for what he did, but he had gotten that group as far as he could take them. And I'm not saying that's the case for Dwayne Casey, but if that's what management says and that's what they've seen, he's been there 7 years, maybe they feel that he's peaked. So, you know, I just – again, I'm not lauding the decision. I'm just saying remove yourself and look at it from the organization standpoint, and I think that there's some – ways you can look at it that actually makes sense.
I think that the DeRozan situation is a bigger deal than it's just we're to a point where we can't get over the hump. Because I think you cannot be in a dispute with your top player. I'm totally on Charles Barkley's side of the Shaq argument that they had the other night on the set. You got to get along with these guys. And if you make a play, it's much more valuable to have a star player on your team than a coach because coaches are interchangeable. And you know what? Dwayne Casey may go someplace else and do a better job. It doesn't mean he's a bad coach. Same thing that I would have said with Billy Donovan. He could have gotten fired this season for his job at the Oklahoma City Thunder, and it didn't mean that he did anything wrong, or it didn't mean that he wasn't a good coach. It just means that there may be a need for a different voice. And so the NBA is all about players. It ain't about coaches. As good as Popovich has been, I think that there could have been other people that may have done some of the same things in San Antonio. There are people out there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just that you've got to have players. Greg Popovich isn't winning a championship if he didn't have Tim Duncan and Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili and the Hall of Fame players on that team.
That's right, but also, I mean, if I do think a coach, though, can get maybe – if one coach has been there and gotten all he can get out of a player, it may take a different voice to get something different out of a player or pull something else.
He clearly has some flaws. One of his biggest flaws is he didn't have a killer instinct because he was nowhere to be found getting the ball in game one, and he was nowhere to be found when he's sitting on the bench. I mean, that's – that's a great point, too, about the coach, that he wasn't getting the talent out of a guy.
Right.
That should, I mean, have we all overrated DeMar DeRozan? Is he just not capable of getting better? Are those things that he didn't address in his game? Some of the great pros have addressed issues. Look at James Harden. He's gotten a lot better as a pro.
Correct. But here's one thing I'll say to you, and to that point, and I'm sure that's what Toronto's organization is asking themselves. Is this – because, Mark, they just dedicated – didn't they just max him out missile last year?
Yeah.
He's a max player.
Right.
So, again, you've made this investment. And if you're saying –
you can't get rid of him.
That's what I'm saying. So, if you feel that this coach and this relationship is pretty much, A, he's not getting as much as we'd like to get out of him. Now, B, now all of a sudden you've got a relationship issue. Again, that's
– I'm with you, though.
I mean
– I don't I think sometimes in these, the NBA and professional sports is certainly like this. You look at it as a coach getting fired means he's a failure, and I don't think that's the way
No.
It just means that you need somebody else to come in to deliver that message.
Absolutely. And Dwayne Casey's going to get paid.
It's not an indictment.
And Dwayne Casey is going to be a highly sought after commodity here very soon. Okay? He's not going to be out of work for long. What'll be interesting is which direction Toronto goes, who the guy they identify.
Warriors did some of the same thing.
In.
Mark Jackson, I think a lot of people thought Mark Jackson was a really good coach, but clearly he isn't Steve Kerr.
That's a perfect point. Mark Jackson did a great job there in Golden State. He laid the foundation, but there were some there that obviously thought he had taken them as far as he could take them, and they make the move, and clearly the rest is history. I think it is time for us to make our educated guesses for the weekend, Marcus. We've already both said I got the Rockets in 7, I got the Cavs in 6. So I will go to the world of golf, and I will stick with my original pick. Ricky Fowler, though he started 2 over, well, I don't even know what he's at.
I'll let
right
you know
now.
Right now.
Yeah, tell me before I make myself look stupid.
Okay, I know that Tiger, it looks like he's in okay shape to make the cut. He finished at 1 under. He's in a tie. The cut should be, let's see.
Still haven't seen Ricky?
Ricky, we're moving up. No, I haven't seen Ricky
yet. You passed him.
I did?
Well, you must have.
I don't know.
He's not up at 8 under. He didn't shoot 10 under today.
Okay. That's a good call. Ricky, where you at?
All right, well, I'll just stick with my original pick, and I will say.
You go with Ricky?
Well, it's going to be tough considering you're still going down. What, does he not exist today? Seriously.
Okay, this is not that hard. I've got him saved up top on the leaderboard sheet here. Look. No, it's on my phone. Something different.
Oh, boy. I'm gonna
throw myself in the fire for this.
All right, what's your educated guess?
All right, my educated guess is that I'm going to say that the Warriors are going to win game one.
Okay. Very nice. I'm still – any luck on Ricky Fowler?
Ricky Fowler may have gone in the water.
Did he – Don't tell me he's like
you. Hey, recue your educated guess.
Did he withdraw? I'm not finding him anywhere on the leaderboard. All right, so for my educated guess, I'm just going to go opposite of you, Mark Rogers. I will say that both my picks will win the opening game. Cleveland win on Sunday on the road, and Houston will win the opener in their backyard at the Toyota Center.
Ricky Fowler.
What is he?
Doubled 6 and doubled 7.
Oh, man. So what's he at?
He's not going to make the cut.
Gosh! My educated. Good thing I didn't say Ricky Fowler winning it all would be my educated guess. Enjoy the weekend. Happy Mother's Day to all the great mothers out there. You gentlemen, get out here to Le Visage and get mom something perfect for Mother's Day. But what you don't need to do is change the dial, because up next, it is the ultimate on the afternoon sports beat. Keep it right here on the leader in sports, 98.1 WWLS, the sports animal.